Morning, Council.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
It's that time of year again where we have to do our annual comp plan report to the Office of State Planning Coordination and the Governor's Advisory Council. And just as a reminder, and for Mr. Arlett's benefit as well, the law was changed 5 or 6 years ago where counties and municipalities, as I recall, had to do a comprehensive plan update every 5 years. The legislature realized that that wasn't necessarily the best way to go, because by the time you sort of started implementing and getting a feel for how your comp plan was working, you had to start over with a new one. And so they changed the law and said it had to be now every 10 years, but you have to do an annual report just sort of talking about things that have occurred in the county. And that's what the document that I'm going to talk about today is all about. And I believe you have a copy of it. It was in your packet. Mm-hmm. Basically, as you know from prior years, it's sort of just a summary of things that have happened during the past year. We go over the land use applications that have been received by the county in the past fiscal year. As the report indicates, there are 57 applications filed. Of those, 3 were for new subdivisions with a total of 62 lots. There were 25 rezoning applications and 29 applications for conditional use permits. We talked about some of the major land use applications that came through the county this past year. We referenced the work that County Planning and Zoning did on the flood zone ordinance, which council approved with FEMA's commendations for the county's efforts on that. Because one of the elements of the comp plan is wastewater, we touch a little bit on some of the expansion areas, the Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District, the Gosley Creek Planning Area, and the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District. Housing is an element of our comp plan. So in that discussion, we talked about the work on the dwelling ordinance, and I know that the Community Development Department's been working on evaluations of impacted communities in Sussex County, so that's referenced. We touch upon some of the economic development initiatives, and then finally we talk about the fact that really we're sort of getting to the point of being in a transition from our current comp plan into the new one. As we do that, like for example, next year's report will be sort of less about maybe what's happened in the past year and more about the efforts to start gearing up for the new mm-hmm. comprehensive plan that we have to adopt in 2018. So we're not really looking for any action from council today. It's just more to let you know that this is the report that staff has put together, compiling everything. And I'd like to thank Planning and Zoning, Engineering, Economic Development, Community Development, and Mr. Guy as well for reading this and supplying information so that we can provide that up to the state level.
I have a question, Mr. President.
Mrs. Deaver.
Well, I guess it's not a question, it's a statement. That is very informative, and if it's available, I would like to get that to the League of Women Voters and other folks who are wondering how we're doing as far as development, kind of community. It's public information.
It is, and what
okay.
we've done, this is the fourth one we've mm-hmm. done, and they are on the county's website. So it
Good.
Is, it's kind
okay.
of just a brief overview of what the county has done in the past year. So the League of Women Voters or anybody could
yeah.
pull that from the county's website. It's kind
and
of a snapshot of what we've done.
Yeah, well, it means a lot to the folks I represent. Could you tell me who's on the Governor's Advisory Committee?
Oh, off the top of my head, I'm not sure. I think it's the Governor's Chief of Staff, sort of.
A bunch of advisors.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, John Carney used to head that
yeah.
when the former governor had the her program.
Our point of contact for this is really the Office of State Planning Coordination. What happens is we prepare this, we send it up to Connie Holland's office, they review it and compare it with our comprehensive plan. Sort of they're the initial threshold. They say it looks good and it satisfies what they need, and then they're the ones, along with every other county municipality,
mm-hmm.
they send all those to the office. The Governor's Advisory Council.
Now, this letter is not the report. This is just the introduction, or is this
no,
the
this
report?
No, that's a report.
Yeah,
report.
That's what they require.
That is actually
yeah.
a report. Okay.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
very
correct.
Well.
Yeah, because it doesn't need to be, you know,
okay,
a
just
big
curious.
Comprehensive.
I'm not, I was,
you know,
sounded like it implied that this was like an introduction to that. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to look into the land use, here's the report, and it breaks it more detail.
Yeah,
but
no,
it's okay.
No,
I don't.
That's it. And that, because they sort of say what you need to do. And
less is good. That's
yeah,
good.
That's
right.
Any other questions from council? Okay, moving right along.
Number 2. two on the hit parade for me this morning, is signs. And I know Mr. Lawson put this on the agenda.
Yes, Mr. Cole had asked us to put a agenda item on for signs, segueing from last meeting's discussion about our need for a review of the signed ordinance and the consultant, the services that we currently have an RFP out on the street for. So we added this agenda at agenda item at Mr. Cole's request in regards to signs. And with that, we'll turn it over.
Well, I'll just point this out. I've had some communication with Board of Adjustment President, who's relayed to me that they have really problems with these the electronic signs. We had a legal case not long ago early on, and basically our ordinance really doesn't have any teeth. It needs to be rewritten. It doesn't seem like we've done much in that effort, or to tighten this up. But right now, we just took a trip to Charlotte, Mr. Wilson and I don't think we saw one electronic sign the whole way. Billboards. We have electronic signs that are very distracting on two-lane roads, like Route 26. A new one just popped up. We have a cluster of billboards. It's getting out of hand. The board doesn't know what to do. They need direction from us. We're not doing anything with rewriting anything. I don't think we can wait until this new land use plan comes up or anything like that. I think we need to address it. And I would propose, to stop taking applications until we get something new and on the board or on the table here for us to consider, because we have gotten it's a mess out there. And there's, again, typical enforcement with the county is we're complaint driven. So unless somebody really is sitting there counting 8 seconds and some of this other stuff with these signs, or they turn them different maybe on a weekend. I don't know, because we're not working. But anyway, I think it's out of hand. I'd like to see this council maybe stop accepting applications for X amount of time so we can get this document on the table and help Board of Adjustment address these issues, because they don't like it, but they've got to approve it. And maybe Everett can chime in, because his attorney, assistant attorney, is sitting there at the board, and maybe you could tell us, the council, some of the issues, why we're having a problem with it.
Yeah, there is a concern with the Board of Adjustment and with Jamie Sharp, who is the attorney for the board, with just the sheer volume and magnitude of sign applications. And in fact, they had addressed a letter to the council, asking for some input on sign issues. In regards to what can be done immediately, we just can't simply make a motion, let's stop taking applications, because if we would look at a moratorium, that would have to be in the form of an ordinance. Mm-hmm. And to do that, an ordinance would have to be introduced. It would have to go through the same processes that regulations would take, or change in regulations. So that it is a longer process than just council making a motion that we want to do.
No, I do understand. Yes. That. So it's why I'm bringing it up again, because it's just something that festers out there and we don't really address it. So I would like to see if there's a consensus with the council to move forward with you putting together, or Vince, one of you guys putting together something that we can get on the table, because we could do this in 30 to 45 days, right? Get it advertised.
What is the...
Now, when you say to do something, are you talking about doing something to change the ordinance, or to...
I would... So we could have the time, as Everett alluded to, his attorney's having problems with it. The board has written us a letter asking us to do something. What I'm trying to do is say, let's do something. The do something would be to get an ordinance if we're going to slow it up and stop it, to give us time to write the ordinance. So I would say get the ordinance for a moratorium or to stop accepting applications, however you want to term it. And so we can, then the staff can put together the ordinance for addressing signs. And we've got the flag issue. We got a number of issues in this whole thing. And it's time we addressed it, because the longer we sit back, it just gets more and more difficult too.
I do know the board, one of the things that they had requested was that there be some type of workshop with county council so you could discuss, okay, what kind of changes does the board see that need to be made, and then the council get input from the council, and at that point, regulations, new regulations could be drafted and passed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you're done.
Mr. President, may I just want to make a comment, because I think even in Mr. Cole's district, I have seen very recently, a commercial building that distressed commercial building that was on the market, and apparently the seller could not get it sold. So what they chose to do to provide an income source, I'm guessing, is that they made the building a billboard.
They made what?
They made the entire building a billboard. You know what I'm referring to?
They need a bow on top, it looks like.
I don't mean just a billboard. I'm talking about the entire building has been wrapped as a billboard. And so I don't even know if they've got the approval. I don't even know what the process is of that.
My understanding, we're on top of that one because there have been complaints. And maybe here he comes to the rescue.
So I'm just wondering, where are we with that? Because that's a new one for me.
It is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Legal. That specific
site. Well, I don't know. I'm asking. That's what I'm asking.
Mr. Lang, please.
Violations were issued. There was an issue with the wall signs. It is a wrap. There appears that there's been a billboard added right to the front of the wall, and there's also an on-premise sign that's actually been being used as off-premise sign. It's been saved for that also. So we are on top of that. The wrap's not really an issue, but it's except for certain portions of it, because there's actually advertisement in wording. The rest of it's basically pictures of a house, a swimming pool, or something of that nature. It's not really, it's signage is actually the wording.
I got to hand it to him. It is very creative.
It is.
Their part.
It is legal, isn't it, Lars, to put the signs on your own building?
Well, you can have certain signage on a building, but it's on premise. And that business is not an active site.
Oh, it has to be. It has to be your business on the.
Sure.
It only can advertise on the premise.
Well, see, sometimes this is confusing, even to me, because, like we had some time back 4 years ago, a person bought a property, and the sign, big, what is it, 24 by 12 sign or something, large, humongous sign. The guy before that owned it, advertised down the road. So he bought it, and he thought, well, I'm just going to advertise my business. When he come to find out, he was not allowed to advertise his own business, but he could advertise down the road. So now, in this building here, he can advertise his own business, but he can't advertise down the road. So it's the opposite, in a sense of speaking.
If you're going to do off-premise advertising, no matter what size, it's required to go to the board. On-premise advertising is permitted, but only with limitations on size of the signage for the on-premise ground sign and the on-premise wall sign.
How about you put it on wheels?
It's still a ground type sign.
Sure.
You mean
like a truck. You pull a truck in there and you got a big sign on it.
Sure.
Murphy Electric.
You're allowed to have that sign on that truck, aren't you? Aren't you allowed to put it on your property?
There's a limitation on advertising on vehicles for the intent to advertise, because they park them intentionally up to the front property line. That's actually illegal also.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This just shows the confusion with signs when the county council doesn't even understand the sign ordinance.
Mm-hmm. Well, when it comes to intent, see, that's pretty hard to prove when you come to intent. That really gets, you can really get yourself in a bind.
Basically, you're going to park it with the intent to advertise.
Now, if he parks it and leaves there 30 days and grass grows up clear around the thing, you can understand that he's not using the truck. But if that truck is moved regularly, I would say that'd be a very difficult sign to enforce.
As I said, it's up to enforce because the vehicle is active and it doesn't move here and there, like say it's a furniture business or something of that nature, and they actually park the truck out front.
Right.
And then they load the truck and haul a load of furniture somewhere, and then they come back parking again empty. Is that really advertising, or is it just parking the vehicle? Mm-hmm. That question's come up before.
Mm-hmm. So, Mr. President, therefore, or what is the solution here? Are we looking at a short-term public hearing to do a code, a more memo?
No, I'm trying to
I mean, what are we
just,
doing? What are we doing?
I think Mr. Cole wants to move this
just
subject
do
forward.
Do something. We're doing nothing. I think we need to do something.
Yes.
You two guys can tell us what we should do. Mm-hmm. I think we need to rewrite the whole ordinance. But I think if we need an ordinance to stop things, to temporarily stop them,
at the short term,
because the Board of Adjustment has written us a letter saying, we got problems. Jamie, you've just alluded to it. So it's on the record. There are problems in River City. So let's do something. And that's what I'm trying to get a consensus today. Okay. So I would suggest that we would ask staff to come up with an ordinance for, I call it a moratorium, call
short
it
term.
Just to not accept permits, call it whatever you want. But I think we need the space to have the workshop, to do these other things, and get it done, because we just sat here and we're all confused about signs.
Mr.
Lawson.
Yes, sir. Thank you. So really, in front of us, we've got two options. And as you know, we have an RFP for planning services out on the street right now, which will close in...
It's in August.
No, we're a month out from having, reviewing, and perhaps making a selection of consultants for these types of consulting services relating to planning. Our intent and our hope was to put the sign ordinance rewrite as item number one for our newly hired consultants, working with legal and with staff to do that. Knowing the time frame, that's one option. The second option is to not wait for that and perhaps look at an ordinance that would slow or stop any kind of sign permitting coming forward through planning and zoning. The problem with that is that will take weeks to get through. So about the time we're considering an ordinance to stop or slow down consideration of sign permits, we could perhaps be starting the workshop discussion, which then would fold into a sign ordinance rewrite by our consultants. What the timing is there, I don't know. We have to assume we're going to get good packages back from our RFP and select a good consultant who would be ready to work right away. That's one assumption.
I have a question about...
So it's...
Well, we still, even if it came out of the workshop, we'd still have to have a hearing on it, you know, so it would take a lot longer that way, I would expect, if I understand what you're saying. I have to say, it's my district is just alive with those, and it's a matter of public safety. I'm concerned because DelDOT's working hard to make Route 1 safer, and yet those electric signs are obliterating signs from DelDOT, and it's really, in my opinion, never should have been allowed at all. It is public safety, because we have terrible problems on Route 1. And then I have a question. I like that down in Bethany, Mr. Cole's district, why don't they have all those electric signs? Is there something against it, or?
No, we're not as affluent as you all are.
Yeah. No, I would like us to look like that, but I was wondering what the underlying reason.
Well, I would assume that's the town of Bethany ordinance, probably. Is
that well, within
the highway?
Yeah.
No.
Well, there's no commercial property. And Lawrence's question to you is: there are in the commercial district, it's a permitted use for all premise billboard, or do all billboard?
All premise signage, which
all premise
okay.
billboards goes to the board.
Go to the board.
Okay, all no matter what district.
Commercial district, C1 mm-hmm. or CR.
Okay, so there's no district that they're permitted.
No.
Okay. Okay.
Not off premise.
Okay.
Mr. Lawson, could we not? I understand your, I think your preference to get a consultant hired, but why could we not have this workshop to see what Board of Adjustments views are and what the council views are and that kind of stuff before that?
There's no reason why we could not. The only downfall to that is if we haven't hired or selected a consultant, they wouldn't be able to participate in that workshop, listen for themselves what the consensus is. There's probably a workaround if we could do, you know, videotape the workshop perhaps and then
okay.
show the consultants this is what the consensus
okay.
is.
Mr. Lawson, my only problem is with what the scenario you're putting, it's another year before we get anything done. And what I'd like to do is if we can put this a moratorium in place. So I'm going to take the aggressive. I've gotten to the point where I've waited too long, and I think we've get. Yeah. I've gotten to the point in my frame of mind is it's time to bring it to a halt. And there's enough billboards out there, and people can always change. There's billboards that are empty that are advertising for space.
Yeah,
so I don't think it's not like there's a shortage out there, but there is a need to address it. And I would still I'm going to put on the table then that we have the staff come up with an ordinance for a moratorium. Then we have the workshops, we hire the consultants, whatever it takes, but it'll make it happen faster if we have this moratorium in place, because then pressure's on us. Right now, there's been no pressure on us. It just gets stuck under the table, and you know, and again, after a while, because this could be my last term, I don't know if I got enough time to wait.
If we, just for the benefit of council procedurally, if we do that, that means that there would be an ordinance drafted
right.
for the moratorium. It would be introduced. There would be public hearings,
right.
planning and zoning on the moratorium ordinance. Then it would come back to council on the moratorium. If council acted on the moratorium favorably, the moratorium would be in place. Then we'd start the exercise all over again with the sign ordinance that would get drafted, would workshop it, everything we talked about, get introduced. Then it'd be a public hearing again, a planning and zoning, and a public hearing at county council. So, with just so we're clear, with the moratorium,
mm-hmm.
you go through the same mm-hmm. process that
right.
you would for
no,
the ordinance change.
But the only way to get the moratorium is have an ordinance.
That's
for a
right.
moratorium, that's the first thing we need to
that's
do.
Right, with
right.
the hearings.
And we can always, once we get to a certain point, we can then just say we can avoid the moratorium at any time, pretty much, right?
That's correct. And right. usually with moratoriums, there's a time limit,
right.
Right.
you know, 6 months,
mm-hmm.
You know. And
mm-hmm.
Well, I'd like to have, maybe a time frame that the staff thinks they could put this all together and get it all done, whether we get these consultants on board or not. We just, again, it's time to do a moratorium to address the problem, to make sure that we move forward on it.
Yeah.
It's just, I think it's, we've waited too long. We've talked about it too long, and we got problems.
George?
Yes, sir, Sam.
In your area, you probably got a big
problem. No, this is a county problem. It's not
George,
a district problem.
I didn't interrupt you.
I understand.
Bills has the floor.
Can you wait a minute?
All right, go ahead.
I feel in my district, I don't have that problem. I've never had anybody to call me and say, there's too many signs, not enough signs. I don't have that problem. We're on the west side. Now, if you want to make a moratorium, I'll vote for it. In George Cole's district, can have moratorium. If Joan wants that, I'll vote for yours too, Joan. But I will not vote for one on the west side to have a moratorium. I will not vote for it.
Well, let me just
I don't think it's necessary. We don't have that problem. And so why should I vote for it? I'm not going to add another regulation. After all, we just got done. Gina told us this morning that we don't really own this property. We actually rent it. If we don't pay our taxes, we got our property being taken. We don't have enough. We don't own nothing. So now to go on and add just one more moratorium, slow down businesses. If you want to do that in your business, in your district, that's fine with me.
Okay.
But I will not vote for it in my district.
Okay,
Mr. Cole.
Mr. Wright, let me just explain something. We are elected as county councilmen from districts. We represent Sussex County. That's what we do. This is a county problem, Sam. I'm getting sick and tired. Everybody say, in my district, this is what's going on. In my district. We sit here and we look out for the county. Sussex County comes first, Sam, not your little district. Not my little district, not Mr. Eilert's district. We have a county problem.
I'm sorry.
No, we have a county. So if you don't perceive a problem with signs elsewhere in the county, maybe in your little area, but I guarantee you, there's probably issues, people in your district that are concerned about what's happening in the billboard and the signage of this county. So it is a temporary situation. It's a temporary remedy for a problem. And we've already got the regulations. We're just going to modify them. Some of the regulations we've got may not be very good. So you might even streamline this like we've streamlined other things, because I think the mentality of this council is to streamline things. I'm not against that, but what we got doesn't work.
George, I offered a vote for your district. What can I
know?
Do?
Well, that's what I'm going to hold you to that. Thanks, sir.
I think we've had a private discussion on this.
Yeah.
It appears that there seems to be some thought about a moratorium. What I assume, no, I'm not going to assume, I'll ask the question. Who is going to put together the ordinance about the moratorium?
County attorneys.
Mm-hmm. Which county attorneys?
I will prepare.
Mr. Moore,
I will
Mr.
Prepare.
Robertson, who's going to do this?
I will prepare it and have it prepared for next meeting.
Thank you very much.
And we will have a time frame that we can discuss and fill in at the time prior to introduction.
And I would prefer, I don't want to be involved in the time frame. I would like to have Mr. Lank, the staff, you all sit there and figure out what the time frame is so that none of us have, inserted ourselves into this issue.
And can I ask one further clarification? Moratorium on electronic signs, off-premise signs, all signs, no sign permits? How would you like it drafted for consideration tomorrow?
Next
week?
The building that was wrapped was what, an off-premise?
That's already
premise, is
no active business there. So
no, there's no active business, right? Flags and banners and all that stuff, is that part of the sign ordinance? If we put a moratorium, would that stop those two? Because they're
it's not really addressed
at all.
It's not addressed at all.
The fact feather flags mostly.
How about real estate signs?
Flags.
Okay.
Typically, feather flags have been the most concerned.
I don't know. Is there any thoughts how you want the council? I'm trying to get
them down.
A consensus on addressing
hey, Rob.
The electronic signs and maybe just let's just say off-premise billboards at this point.
You don't want to address all signs
no,
because
you
that picks up businesses that
no,
want
sure.
to advertise on the face of their building.
I just say off-premise
billboards.
Billboards.
Well, I have a question, Mr. President.
And electronic signs. And electronic.
Well, that includes yeah. that. Would that include that, Everett?
Yes.
You can do
yeah.
it.
Mr. President, I have a question.
Yeah. Mrs. Deaver.
My question is, what the pirate, is that what you call them, pirate signs?
Bandit
the
signs.
Bandit signs, not pirate.
Bandit, or bandit. Pirates, whatever.
Yeah. Is that, do you want to have this part of the ordinance? Or
this moratorium.
We're catching a lot of bad press on
yeah.
those.
I think that would be difficult to put in any type of ordinance for a moratorium. That is a proper subject, however, when we have the workshop to look at
right.
You know, all because there are a lot of other issues, the flags, the bandit signs, other things that need to be part of a workshop and that the Board of Adjustment is concerned about. But for this purpose, why don't we stick to the off-premise billboard?
And it's a response to the board's letter that they wrote. Okay.
Mr. President, may I ask one question? One comment, two questions. Number one, the bandit signs, if we already have learned here at the council that DelDOT has asked us not to touch them. Because it's in their easement, so we really probably have zero authority regarding the bigger issue because those are in the state's right-of-ways most of the time. Question I have for Mr. Lawson is that this workshop and, you know, how long out do you foresee is coming up with a resolution?
Well, there's no delay. If this were to take place with a moratorium, there's no delay in scheduling and preparing for the workshop at that point because we can go forward with it. The question would be, do we want to move forward with or without a consultant at the table? We could probably see how close we would be at the time of the workshop. Workshop's probably not going to happen much before late August. So that's just a question of planning. So to answer your question, within a month or so, we could have this workshop scheduled and have that discussion. There's a number of stakeholders that have asked to be a part of this discussion. We've mentioned that before. DelDOT has come back and said they'd like to be a part of that. So it's going to be a pretty comprehensive meeting, which would take some planning to put together, and we'll need some direction from staff and council on the topics.
So it is very conceivable that we could have a resolution and have this finalized really by the end of this year. With no question, I would say.
That's a possibility, yes. Yes. If we have to run an ordinance through, a new ordinance through for the sign itself, that's going to take quite some time. It's a two-level hearing process. So that at a minimum is a couple months.
Right. Okay.
And I would add that that's just the timing of the moratorium ordinance is probably a couple months also by the time it gets introduced and it's advertised and the hearings with planning and zoning.
Yeah, it's still going to be a drawn-out affair.
Sure.
And I'll just say this, Rob. With Mr. Lang, we have this new planner, with the rest of the staff that have been involved in these issues. I don't think we have to, I think we're knowledgeable enough, have enough knowledge within the county government to deal with this issue. So I think we can move forward, if this consultant comes on board, we bring him in. So, I'm sick and tired of waiting and using all these excuses. And I'd just like to make a motion that we move forward with the legal staff coming up with an ordinance. Mr. Moore said he could do it for next week, and we put it on the agenda for next week.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to have a ordinance drawn up to put a moratorium on off-premise signs, billboards. Question on that motion?
Now, this is just, Mr. President, just to put the ordinance. This is not voting for the moratorium. This is just
to
have, a,
this
something
is to have an ordinance introduced.
Have something in front of us.
Ordinance drawn up, not introduced. Right. Ordinance drawn
and
up.
And we can discuss again next week.
That's correct. Questions? Mm-hmm. Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arnett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
No.
I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Robertson. It's always a good pleasure. It's a pleasure seeing you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you both.
Have the rest of your day.
Mr. Godwin? Legislative update.
Mr. President, members of council, I will attempt to update you on the activities in Dover of the 148th General Assembly, which is now in recess until January. which means that, as you probably already know, that any bills that have not been fully dealt with at this point stay alive and come back in January. The report that I gave you in your package, I'll try to go through that and lift out with explanation those items that seem to be of particular interest. On page 5 of that report, I wanted to point to House Bill 140, which ultimately was passed and signed by the governor, which increases some DMV fees. I'll come back to the explanation of that in a minute or two. On page 6, I'd like to point out with some celebration, we got House Bill 151 passed through both chambers. This bill gives us 90 days to finish the work for a new sewer district. This has been working in the past with a 30-day window for the council to adopt revisions to our sanitary sewer district code and things of this nature. The purpose of this bill is to amend the time frame in which Sussex County must pass a formal resolution after posting the notices of the establishment or revision of a sanitary sewer district or water district. This bill proposes us to substitute 90 days in lieu of 30 days. So we got that one passed. Mm-hmm. I know you were very interested in that. At the bottom of the same page, House Bill 171 has been of particular interest because this may have some impact on our tax income. This bill originally intended to set up a review group to make recommendations on how to transcend from we counties collecting property taxes on telecommunications equipment, and also to end that tax by June 30 of 2008. What we were successful in doing was to have a substitute bill written. And this House substitute bill, first of all, eliminates the committee to research for recommendations, quite frankly, because it's been done 3 times before. So we convinced them not to do that. There have been committees who have studied this issue and made recommendations to no avail in the past. The other thing that we got them to do was to take out the drop-dead date, which is June 30, 2018. So what we have essentially is they put a cap on what the counties can collect with regard to property taxes for taxes on communication equipment. It is not eliminated, it is capped, however. So the dollars that we receive this year are the same dollars we'll receive next year, or at least we won't receive more. So that's been the result of that bill.
I'll wait till after. I do have some questions.
I'll try to address them on that bill.
Oh, the 90 extra days that we're getting, engineering's getting?
Yes.
I'm assuming that's okay with Public Service Commission, are they part of that? Or?
They don't seem to have an issue.
Okay, good. This tax on utilities, that's not necessarily going to go toward internet services, that type of thing, is it? It's going to go to the county.
There's a natural attrition that's happening with telephone poles and telephone wires.
Is that what it's about? Okay.
As those wires and poles disappear, mm-hmm. our ability to tax those disappearing assets dissolves as well. So we're already in a decline just because of the nature of the business. As communications going more to wireless, we have less infrastructure to tax.
Mm-hmm.
So our tax will go down on those items anyway. Mm-hmm. This bill was designed to try and find new ways to replace that tax. And as I said, there have been many recommendations made before. To end the tax in 2018.
All right. Go ahead.
What we got the bill changed to is it simply caps the tax dollars that we're getting this year.
Mm-hmm.
We won't get more than that in the future. It's mm-hmm. going to decline naturally,
mm-hmm.
but it won't go away completely as the bill had originally required. So the big accomplishment in lobbying this bill was to stop the elimination of this tax stream altogether.
Mm-hmm.
So we can still get those taxes while they're going to be in a declining mode.
So we're looking at it as property, like real estate property.
Yes, uh-huh. We look at those mm-hmm. those pieces of improvements mm-hmm. to the property
yes.
as taxable items.
Okay, all right.
And then Verizon and those folks do pay a large tax to us every year.
I understand. I'm looking to make sure nothing interferes with our getting our fiber optic cable.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, absolutely not.
Mr. President, may I just one quick question regarding this, Mr. Godwin? You mentioned that the state has put a cap on our ability to receive dollars, tax dollars from this source. Did they put a cap on themselves, or is it just at the county level?
Yeah, well, that will cap the schools because we collect those taxes for us and for the schools as well. When we collect the property tax, 80% of those dollars we collect go to the school district, so mm-hmm. it does affect the state's budget as well in that regard. But the state doesn't tax this as property as we do. So the only exposure the state has here is through their schools.
Okay. Schools. Very good. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay. On page 7, House Bill 130 was substituted with a substitute bill, and I included that in your package. I'd like you to take a look at that bill. This bill had caused us some concern in its beginning. This bill defines criteria for any local government, it would be us or a town, to promote economic development by entering into an agreement with the Department of Transportation. And then this bill goes on to explain a number of issues that they were going to require us to do in our land use approval to support certain items. The bill was substituted for a new bill, and that is substitute one for House Bill 130, and it makes all of those requirements voluntary. So it takes the sting out of land use implications for you. There are still options. These complete community enterprise districts will still be in the code as a new feature with this new bill, but they'll not be required. It'll be as a voluntary measure a developer could use if he wanted to not use the other features in that same portion of the state code. So it gives developers an option to design these complete community enterprise districts.
Would it help, excuse me, I have a question. Would that help us have better infrastructure, better roads? I mean, is that more, do we get more help from DelDOT or less under that plan?
This would be help from the developer.
Well, from the developer, but DelDOT has to build it.
No. No?
In
the state code, we are required to require developers to provide certain infrastructure.
Right.
Okay, this gives the developer another option, which is to develop a complete community enterprise district, which would include certain features as bus stops, walking paths, bicycle lanes. It creates a different environment for transportation.
But it won't be. We have a problem in my district. Mm-hmm. Access, trying to get out to Route 24. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see DelDOT require better access, easier access. Does that have any, ever come into that?
This would have effect on new subdivisions.
Okay.
So any feature that's already in place.
Well, it wouldn't do that. Okay. Well, that's
problem,
good, though, to start
right,
somewhere.
Wouldn't necessarily be addressed through this legislation. This legislation would be applied to new subdivisions.
Right. That's fine.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay. So there, I'd like you to take a look at Senate Substitute 1 for House for Senate Bill 130 prior to us going back into session in January so that you give me some advice on what you think of that. Okay. Okay. Now, on page 10, at the bottom of the page, House Bill 201 is a bill that gives you, the county, the option, you now have the option, to restrict or control firearms on your properties. In the past, you didn't have that ability. Now, if you want to restrict firearms being carried into this council chamber or any other property that's owned by the county council, you now have the ability, through this legislation, to establish that. Another bill that I want to bring your attention to that we're going to work on the off season on page 11, House Bill 200. Now, this bill does require a number of new features that we need to think about over the off season. It would require us to establish some very careful controls and rules on parking lots. This bill really was fathered by the disabilities organization, the folks in Delaware who are lobbying for disabilities and the needs of disability people, disabled people. The bill was introduced and released from committee, but we were promised by the sponsor that the bill would not be voted on, as it wasn't, until January. So we have a few months to meet with the disability organization and try to come to some agreement on things that we can and can't do. This bill would require us to, first of all, issue a permit for a new parking lot. And also, if an existing parking lot were to commit or want to restripe, they would have to first come to us and apply for a permit, give us a site plan, and then comply with all the regulations that are currently in effect for the ADA. And quite frankly, an earlier built parking lot might not be able to do that without a variance. If a parking lot is given so many parking places, there usually is a ratio of so many handicapped spots have to go along with those spots. If a parking lot that was developed in the 1960s only has two handicapped spots, and now the ADA requires 10, and he doesn't have enough spots to meet his zoning requirements, that's going to create a problem for us. So those are some of the things we need to work out with the sponsors of this bill over the off session. So I'm going to be working with our planning office.
What if it happened to grandfather?
This takes it away.
I can't see it.
The General Assembly is considering it.
Yeah. Is that private parking lots?
All parking lots, yes.
Private?
Yes.
It's nice, isn't it?
Well, I guess the application would be, while a shopping center may be owned privately, it's open to the public.
They'd be telling me my parking spot's not big enough in my yard, first thing you know.
Well, that's one of the features in this, is that a parking place is so many feet wide, it also has to have 4 or 5 feet of unloading zone, which most handicapped spots don't have, okay, unless they were installed in the last year or so. Okay, now I had mentioned earlier House Bill 140 that I was going to come back to. That was the bill where they raised some fees at the DMV. There are also two other bills that I wanted to point out to you, Senate Bill 166 and Senate Bill 167. These two bills got the fastest consideration and approval I've ever seen in my life. Apparently there was an agreement made on how to balance the budget, which I'm going to come to in a minute. And sometime in the late evening hours of June 30/July 1st, three bills were considered and then brought back to the floor and voted on. Senate Bill 140 that I mentioned earlier about the DMV fees had been defeated in the Senate on the 25th. So I thought the bill was done. It was brought back on the floor, approved, and then Senate Bill 166 and 167 were also approved. Let me tell you what 166 and 167 do. There's been an issue, I'm sure you've read about the state budgeters raiding the transportation fund to balance their budget. These two Senate bills stop that from happening, essentially. Senate Bill 166 is the first step of a constitutional amendment, which means they have to pass this bill this session, which they did, and then in the 149th General Assembly, which will start January of 2017, they're going to have to pass it again in order to have a constitutional amendment that precludes the budget system from taking transportation funds. Senate Bill 167 is a bill to handle today. It does the exact same thing with the transportation fund, only the very first words are, this act limits the ability of the 148th General Assembly to appropriate transportation trust fund monies to a purpose other than, let me go down the list, all the capital things. So those two bills were part of the compromise you all read about that brought the budget back to a balanced figure. Mm-hmm. Now the good thing for that, I'll explain to you kind of as quickly as I can, the events of the last week or so of session, and that's why these three bills are so important. On the 22nd of June, on a Monday, I attended the Joint Finance Committee when they changed the epilogue language in the recommended budget, which would have reapportioned our share of realty transfer tax from 1.5% to 1%. And they also, in that same motion, decided to not fund our additional Delaware State policemen that we fund half of. Well, when that happened, all the alarms went off. I set off some alarms. President Vincent set off some alarms, and to our rescue came the other two counties, and we all sat down and discussed what we could do, what our options were, what things we might have to cut with these new revenue streams being reduced, and so on. And as you remember, the Tri-County organization had a discussion at their dinner on Thursday the 25th, and then I can tell you that over the weekend, I was in communication with my counterparts in the other two counties. And we all came together and agreed on certain things. And I must give a real applause to our friends in Newcastle County because they really seem to apply some pressure to the right people. And the right people are the members of the Joint Finance Committee. Most of those members represent districts in Newcastle County. And Newcastle County's leadership were in communication all weekend with those members of the Joint Finance Committee. And miraculously, there were changes made, as I explained to you, on the 30th. On the 30th, the Joint Finance Committee met again, and after these negotiations of these three bills, they agreed to use $31 million from a settlement, one-time money, that came in from a settlement from two banks that the state had received, which was a settlement that had relation to bank functions during the financial downturn in 2008-2009. So they're not going to be able to use this money again next year because it's not there. This was a lawsuit settlement that came in one time. But with the agreement of those three bills that they adopted to create some new funds and to stop raiding the transportation fund, they found it in their hearts to restore our realty transfer tax to 1.5% and to restore our funding for state police. They put that in the grant and aid bill, House Bill 230. There are $16 million was put back into transportation funds for, that's the money that the state representatives and state senators use in their districts. $5 million was put back into municipal street aid, and the 5% cuts that they had levied across the board in the grant and aid program went back in, and they put $3 million back in ag preservation. The one thing that I think we also got clipped on by just a few dollars is I believe there still will be a small charge for us using DELGIS. They had originally had all the local governments paying the entire fee for DELGIS. They put it all back in, I think, except $50,000. I can't find the other $50,000. So I think that $50,000 that's missing is going to be billed to local governments and fire companies and police departments and so forth and so on. Whenever they use DELGIS, it'll be an email fee. Unless I'm wrong, I couldn't find that. I also think that with paramedic funding, they removed our opportunity to be funded for infrastructure investment. I have not found that. They're still going to pay their portion of our costs minus infrastructure. So when we're buying property and buildings, I don't think we're going to get funded for that. That's my interpretation of what I've seen. Now, there is a little more good news, and I'm going to blend that into my next presentation, if you will. So, do you have questions?
Nope. Any questions, Council?
You're going to address the right to work?
That didn't move.
I know. But you're not going to get on that?
Well, there's really nothing to talk about. It didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. I'd like the opportunity to make a statement, because I read here.
Favor.
Thank you. Right here that the County Council recommended that the county wanted to consider making the county or perhaps a region of the county a right-to-work area, if I understand. Did I get that correct? Okay, I just want to speak up as a member of council that I understand, and I've been working on economic development for the county, but I didn't think that the workers were going to have to pay the price. And I'm very much against right-to-work because it's right-to-work for less. And that's all. Thank you.
Well, did you say paying price, John?
Mr. Godwin?
Yes, sir.
If you could step it up, please.
Continuing right along, ladies and gentlemen, one of the best things that happened this year's General Assembly is right here in the budget, it says that they're going to take dog control back from us, which is something we've really begged for. They're going to do it. There's going to be a little bump in the road, as I think many of you know, and we're going to do our best to get through this bump. The state is definitely committed to taking over dog controls. And the epilogue language says that they're going to do it as our contracts expire. And then in the next sentence it says the state will take them over as soon as they can, as soon as they have the ability. So those two statements aren't the same, okay? Our contract expired, was scheduled to expire the end of this year, which made us the first up for needing these services. Mm-hmm. However, you probably also are aware that we got a letter from our contractor, the First State Animal Center and SPCA, that they will terminate our contract early, as they sent every one of their other customers in the counties and the city of Wilmington. They intend to stop serving us September 15. So that leaves us with a little bit of a bump between September 15 and January 1. The first thing I wanted to find out was, is there any chance for us to make them continue? And I don't think there is, according to the way we've looked at the laws and the contracts, unless Mr. Moore would like to add something to that.
At this point, we consider there's still a valid contract.
Okay.
Mm.
If, in fact, we're left with no service between September 15 and January 1, I needed to first check with the state to see, well, are you really going to take us over January 1, or was that just a speculative date? We had a meeting yesterday mm-hmm. with the director of the Animal Welfare Office and the other two counties and the city of Wilmington, and it appears to me that the state seems to be on target with January 1. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't guarantee me January 1, but Ms. Brown said that the way they're moving forward, they thoroughly hope and expect to be able to take us our responsibilities January 1st. So I'm gonna kind of hang on that date. Now, what do we do in the meantime? There are still animals that will need to be served, and assuming that this contract won't be there, and assuming that First State Animal Center will not serve us for one reason or another, I've tried to assemble what-ifs and try and give information for you, ladies and gentlemen, to make give us some direction or recommendation. I have contacted and spoken with five animal control officers. Four of them no longer work for First State, and one does. I've also spoken with two kennels in this county who have both been helping First State by housing animals temporarily. They're not a shelter. There's a difference in terms there for a reason. A shelter can also do rabies vaccinations, can offer the animal some services they might need when the animal first comes in, and they can also deal with what might have been animal abuse or cruelty. So a shelter would be able to facilitate all of our menu needs, where a kennel would just be a temporary holding facility. There is a shelter in this county as well, and that is the Delaware SPCA right here in Georgetown. And I'm told that either this afternoon or tomorrow, Ms. Brown will be meeting with them and trying to arrange services for us there. Okay, so we have that piece. We have five possible staff members. We have, I think, some potential shelter services available. There are still some holes, people. From just my rough estimate, I would project that we would probably need seven dog control officers, temporary employees, to actually do the function of going out on calls, picking up stray animals or abandoned animals, and getting them into our shelter system. I would like direction from you as to whether or not I should work this further with Mr. Lawson and others to develop some sort of a proposal to you. I can tell you that I visited one of the kennels and spoke with the owner, and he is very anxious and willing to help us. The other kennel I have not spoken with, and the shelter, as I said, is going to be interviewed today or tomorrow by Ms. Brown from the Office of Animal Welfare. I believe that we can get this done. I believe that we can service ourselves for 90 to 120 days in-house. And my view of this would be that if we hired temporary officers, Ms. Brown has already guaranteed me that she will at least get them an interview with the state, looking for a path forward so that we don't expose ourselves to unemployment benefits. If we hire someone, I'd like to see them transitioned on to the state response, to the state job, when that takes over in January. So I think we can do that. I think we can find qualified people. I've looked at the hourly rates that they were all earning, and the only hole that I have in the system that I don't have a plug for yet are trucks. We would need maybe three trucks, maybe more, but I'm thinking three would probably do it. And the standardized truck is a pickup truck with a specialized animal box in the back. I looked at one of the trucks that First State uses, and basically it's a plain old pickup truck with a not-so-plain old box, because the box has to be air-conditioned. Because if you pick up a dog at 105 degrees, you put him in a metal box, and he rides around the truck the whole afternoon, he's got to be alive when you get into the kennel. So he's not going to be able to ride back there in a heated tin box. So that's why the box is somewhat special. The state has told me that they think what they will do is lease vehicles through a fleet service that they use. And I asked them if they could pass that information to me, thinking that maybe if we together leased two or three trucks, and then we just turned the lease over to them in January, then we've only paid the lease for 3 or 4 months. So I think there's some possibilities there. I would like to continue forward with assembling what might be a model department, or at least a model service for us to use in the interim, so that we're not left with leaving our people with no help whatsoever, as First State Animal Control has kind of done to us.
Well, obviously, I think that, yes, you should continue with that, because certainly we have this animal control operation until at least January.
Right.
Whether First State does it for us or who does it for us, so I don't have any option there. Mr. Laws, do you have any quick comments?
Yeah, quickly. The way the contract reads, we still have a contractual relationship with First State. Mm-hmm. Just because they sent us a letter last week doesn't mean they can back out of the contract, and legal has reviewed that. So that's the first step. They're on the hook for that until the end of the year. 60-day notice to get out at the end of the year, not in September.
Right.
So
you made them aware of our interpretation?
We have not. We have not. So that's a discussion that needs to take place before we consider any options, in my opinion.
I immediately jumped on this just to make an option.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I mean, yeah, that's fine.
Well, get back to us next week.
We need to have options, certainly.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
Well, let's go from dogs to trash. Mr. Costello.